My name is Dan. I'm on the staff team here, and it's my privilege to speak now from the Word of God. So perhaps you'd bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, please take a feeble preacher and speak to us your almighty word. And by the power of your Spirit, send us out from here with our eyes fixed more firmly on Jesus, loving him and trusting him more. We pray in his great name. Amen. Well, this evening we are coming to the end of a preaching series we've been in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So we're coming to the end of that now. And of course, it's the last Sunday of the year. And as we do that, I'd like us just to look at one verse right at the end of 2 Thessalonians, if you have a Bible, right at the end of that letter, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, just one verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Now I'm struck by how beautiful that verse is. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. What a great verse. The church in Thessalonica was a young church. These were new Christians. And we found as we've traveled through these two letters of Paul to that church, they were facing persecution from a hostile pagan society. They were anxious about the future. They were concerned to understand the truth about the return of Christ. And they were suffering from some within the church who wanted to cause disruption and take advantage of other people. This was a church that was struggling in some ways in its youth. And Paul's closing prayer here in this verse is his prayer at the end of his second letter to them is that they would know the peace of God at all times and in every way. Now, peace is quite a prominent theme in our culture and our society. Every beauty queen's wish is world peace. We've got the trend of mindfulness at the moment, which is all about finding inner peace, isn't it? We have peace gardens, peace keepers, peace candles, peace marches. And we have hashtag peace on Instagram as people cradle a perfect flat white against the sort of alpine sunset or something like that. Plenty of those pictures of peace shape how we think of peace when we read it in the scriptures. And I'm not sure that all of that stuff is necessarily that helpful. Paul wasn't telling the Thessalonians to sit in a quiet room, be aware of their breathing, listen to some panpipe music and think of kittens or something like that. Paul was talking to the Thessalonians about having a peace that comes from the Lord of peace himself. This is God's peace, divine peace. And if I can say it this way, explicitly Christian peace, not just any old peace. If we want to get past the limp and bland versions of peace that pop into our head and are around us in our culture, if we want to get to the meat of this beautiful verse, we need to get an explicitly Christian idea of what peace is. So I want us to flick through just some of the biblical teaching on what peace is. Not any old peace, but the peace that comes from the Lord of peace himself. So you may want to turn to some of these references with me. You may not. You might prefer just to listen. That's fine. Please do whatever's most easy. But I want us to begin with Numbers 6:22. A verse some of you will be familiar with, Numbers 6:22, the Aaronic blessing. Here it is. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.'" The Hebrew word for peace in that verse you may know, shalom. It doesn't just mean sort of calm and quiet, It doesn't just mean the absence of noise and conflict. It has to it a sense of completeness and soundness and welfare and peace. It's about being whole and well and at rest, enjoying the blessing of God, the face of God turned towards you. That's what shalom is about. And I don't know if you noticed with that blessing as I read it, it's not a blessing that Moses and Aaron composed. It's not sort of a nice prayer that they cooked up to ask for God's blessing and grace and shalom for the people. No, this was a blessing that the Lord himself gave them to say. The Lord is saying, I want you to ask for this from me, and I want you to have it. That's why I'm asking you to ask me for it. It's a bit like someone saying to you, ask me if I love you. Go on, ask me to prove it. Ask me, go on. That's what the Lord is doing in this blessing. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord wants to bless his people and give them peace, shalom. He wants to give them completeness, wholeness, rest in him. And he inspired Aaron and he inspired Paul in 2 Thessalonians to make this prayer of blessing for his people, of his peace. It's because it's what he wants to give. It's what he wants to give. As we travel through the Old Testament, we'll see that the Lord is actually very serious about his desire to give this peace to his people. In Jeremiah 6, he condemns anyone who promises fake and false peace. In Jeremiah 6, the Lord speaks about false prophets and lying priests. And he says this, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. He's serious about peace. He alone can give real peace. The peace he gives isn't sort of putting your fingers in your ears or covering your eyes, pretending that everything is okay in your life. He only wants his true peace for us, and he won't stand it when people make false promises of peace to his precious people. He won't stand for it when people try and swindle the church out of his peace with counterfeits and copies. The Lord is serious about this gift to us. Isaiah, I think, is the biblical writer who's most interested in peace. We've read it here in just the last few weeks, and Tim mentioned it earlier, Isaiah's prophecy that when Jesus was born, he would be the Prince of Peace, and that his government and peace will have no end. Famous Isaiah chapter 9. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, whose peace, the peace that he brings, will have no end. Later in Isaiah 52, Isaiah says that the gospel is a proclamation of peace. That's what the gospel is. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. That's a great verse. Even the feet of the people who proclaim the gospel of peace are beautiful. No one's feet are beautiful, are they? Horrible things. But if you bring the gospel of peace, even your feet are beautiful. That's how wonderful the peace of God is. Isaiah 52. In the next chapter of his book, Isaiah 53, he shows us how the peace of God in the gospel is given to us. He shows us how we receive the peace of God. He says that the punishment for our sin, all our wrongdoing, will be laid on Jesus on the cross. Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's how we get peace. Think of the wound of the people that Jeremiah spoke about, the sin and guilt that darkens our hearts, the punishment for sin that causes us to fear. Here is the wound, properly treated and bound up and healed, as Jesus, the Son of God, goes to the cross, bearing our transgressions and iniquities, bearing the punishment for sin. Here is Jesus stepping into the world to bring the peace of God into the chaos and the shadows of human sin and conflict and fear. And so Paul writes in Romans 5, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is God giving his peace to us simply through faith in Jesus, his Son. This great exchange happens where our sin and our wounds and our fears are exchanged for his holiness, his life, his peace. And it all comes to us, Paul says, by faith, simply by trusting in Jesus. So we have peace with God through him. So it should make sense to us when the Lord Jesus is born. Luke records the angels in Bethlehem singing, you probably sung it, maybe even here this morning in church, we sung this, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The Prince of Peace is here to bring peace from his birth to his death, from his resurrection to his ascension. His is a life of peace to bring us peace with God. Through the Gospels, Jesus often greets people by saying, peace be with you. And he says goodbye by saying, go in peace. Twice in Romans, Paul calls God the Father the God of peace. And he calls that hymn also once each in 1 and 2 Corinthians, once in Philippians, once each in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and once in Hebrews. So many of Paul's letters begin with grace and peace, or grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. In Colossians 3, Paul encourages us to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. In Galatians 5, the peace of God is associated with the Holy Spirit. Peace is part of the fruit that the Holy Spirit develops and nurtures and grows in our life. Romans 8, verse 6 says that the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And Romans 14, 7 says the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's so much more we could see, but I imagine you're getting the idea. You getting the picture? Our God is all about peace, the Lord of peace himself. Against all of our stress and anxiety, against all of our self-doubt and our fear, over and above Nelson Mandela and Mother Teresa, the Buddha and Gandhi, and every Nobel Peace Prize winner, Jesus came into the world and said, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. God is the God of peace. The gospel is a message of peace. Jesus alone brings us the peace of God. Christians are peace people. Not an evening in a redox bath with a Yankee candle peace, but divine shalom. God's completeness, his soundness, his welfare, his wholeness, God's peace. At all times and in every way. Doesn't leave room for much else, does it? Peace at all times and in every way. May the God who is himself peace, the Father, the God of peace, the Son, Jesus, the Prince of peace, the Spirit who gives peace, may that God give you that peace at all times and in every way. It's actually quite a prayer, that little verse. This peace defines our God. It defines our salvation. It defines our very life as Christians. And so Paul writes to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What does he mean when he says that God's peace transcends understanding? What does that mean? Peace that transcends understanding. Well, just a few verses later, I think Paul spells it out. He says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That is contentment and confidence and strength that defies understanding in any situation, whether you have lots or have nothing. To feel content and confident and strong in the Lord, that's the peace of God that passes understanding. If you're trusting in Jesus this evening, then the Holy Spirit is at work in you to bring this kind of peace to your heart, even this evening. This is what the Lord wants for his people, that we would have peace. That doesn't necessarily mean that everything in your life is going well, that you're always in a good mood, that you're never in need or in trouble. That would be false peace. Rather, it is that for the Christian, it is possible that there will be an underlying, settled, unshakable peace and contentment and confidence in Jesus. That means you can face any situation with your heart and mind guarded, as Paul says. So here's the big question. Do you have that peace? Do you have this peace in your heart and mind day to day? Tomorrow is New Year's Eve, and by Tuesday we'll be in 2019. And of course, there's nothing really significant about moving from 2018 to 2019, is there? It's just another day passing, really. But isn't there something about the old year ending and the fresh start of a new year that somehow makes us step back and examine ourselves? Doesn't that happen? Lots of people go for new year, new me. Is anyone attempting something like that in the next few days? No. Lots of people try and get some perspective on their habits and their routines, work situation, relationships, and so on. I think for a lot of people, arriving in the new year can sometimes feel a bit like the cold light of day, revealing or reminding them of things they regret or missed opportunities, poking them about things that they've let to fester, things that they've never addressed with other people. New Year is apparently prime time for people sending drunken text messages to their exes. It's the most popular time to be out looking for a new job because somehow it just brings up dissatisfaction, doesn't it? On New Year's Eve 2016 and into New Year's Day 2017, the two most Googled questions were how to get rid of stress, number one, and number two, how to make kale chips. And it may be for many of us in the room that the next few days will expose in us a real lack of peace. It will expose in us a lack of the peace of God. It may be a time that insecurities will well up. It may be a time when comparison and self-loathing can creep in. Disappointments and failings might come knocking on the door. And our peace might seem to fly away. And in saying this, I'm not trying to guilt trip you. This isn't sort of a kick up the backside to say, you should be feeling peaceful if you're a Christian. Come on. I'm trying to be truthful and real. For me, actually, on New Year's Day 2016, I woke up to what should have been a pretty great day. I'd had a lovely Christmas at home with my family. I'd returned to Oxford for a New Year's Eve party with a bunch of friends. A couple of my best friends had stayed over, and two more were coming to visit from Scotland later in the day. Should have been a great day, but I actually woke up that morning, probably the lowest I've ever been. For about 2 months, I'd been anxious and down, and I thought that I was just tired and needed a break, and, you know, a little bit of rest and so on over Christmas would sort me out. On New Year's Eve, at the party, after a couple of weeks off, I realised I was no better at all, and actually had a conversation with someone who suggested that maybe I was depressed. And so I woke up early on New Year's Day morning, actually with a couple of mates still snoozing on the mattress next to me on the floor, and lay in bed and referred myself to a counsellor. And I thought, I've been a Christian all my life. I'm an ordained minister. I knew my Bible. I was filled with the Spirit. What is happening? And the truth is that life is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. And it is not wrong or shameful to have a serious sense of the darkness and the sadness that is around you and within you. And it may be that some people here this evening are feeling that very thing, especially at the moment. There are all sorts of things that can cause us to lose our peace. Sins of various kinds, conflicts with loved ones, all sorts of practical concerns about home or work or money, perhaps illness or suffering of different kinds. All sorts of things will cause us to lose peace. And a certain way to lose peace is to get fixated on yourself and your feelings and your circumstances and your mess-ups. Dare I say it, even New Year's resolutions could be a pretty great way to lose your peace. You can easily get tangled up in New Year's resolutions as a sort of religious list of shoulds and oughts that only ever serve to highlight your shortcomings and sins. There might be some people in the room tonight for whom making New Year's resolutions would be a pretty bad idea. It is not hard to have your peace stolen away. But as this year comes to an end, you must know that none of these things are beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. That is absolutely true. There is peace to be had from God through Jesus Christ. He won't steamroll or wish away your troubles and your cares, but he is the Lord of peace who wants to give you his wholeness, his soundness, his welfare. If you have peace with the living God, you can learn to be content with his strength. You can learn, as Paul did, to face any and every situation with the most important factor already secure and fixed, that you have peace with the living God through Jesus. The most important thing in the world already in the bank, already secure. Jesus is the Lord of peace himself. Come to Jesus tonight. If you need peace, come to him tonight. For the first time, perhaps, or maybe coming again for the 101st time. Come to him tonight if you need peace. The Victorian preacher Charles Spurgeon put it this way: there is in contemplating Christ a balm for every wound. In musing on the Father, there is a quietus for every grief. And in the influence of the Holy Ghost, there is a balsam for every sore. Would you lose your sorrows? Would you drown your cares? Then go, plunge yourself in the Godhead's deepest sea. Be lost in his immensity, and you shall come forth as from a couch of rest, refreshed and invigorated. I know nothing which can so comfort the soul, so calm the swelling billows of grief and sorrow, so speak peace to the winds of trial, as a devout musing upon the subject of the Godhead. Have you got this peace tonight? Are you resting on Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Have you set your heart and your mind on the Lord of peace himself? Perhaps you're visiting tonight. Maybe you're not normally found in church on a Sunday. Maybe you're just in Oxford for a day or two. Come to him tonight and find peace. We don't have the strength to carry alone all that the last year has dropped in our laps. We don't know what this new year will bring. We live in a fragile and unpredictable world. And we have sin and Satan and the flesh to battle. It would seem perhaps that the odds are stacked against us and we would never have peace. But we've seen tonight that God in heaven is the Lord of peace. And he wants to give you his peace at all times and in every way, even this evening. And whatever it is that you're facing, whatever darkness and shadow, whatever suffering and sorrow is in your life, he wants to give you his peace this evening. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, we confess our need of you. We know that our lives are so full of so much that would steal our peace. And so we pray that you, the God of peace, would fill our lives with shalom, with your wholeness and soundness and welfare, that we would find peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that wonderful peace in our hearts, go out into the world with all its temptations and threats and cares and worries, able to face every situation strong in you. Lord, give your peace tonight, especially to